Good afternoon. Hope you're having a good day so far this Thursday. Hi there. Welcome to the final hour of our show today and for the week. 12:05 is the time. We're off tomorrow. Back with you on Monday. Hi there. I'm Raquel. Here's what's coming up this hour. There's mixed public reaction to Halifax's new branding approved this week unanimously by City Council. We'll talk with Councillor David Hensby. Hear his thoughts on this. Malcolm Payne will be running the Boston Marathon again this year. So is Lawrencetown's Wade Keller. Both ran last year. And both will join us this afternoon. And we're coming up on one of Christianity's holiest holidays, Easter. We'll hear more about Easter's meaning when we talk with Chris Kalacki. He's with Acadia University's Divinity College. 12:06 is our time right now, but first up this afternoon, the advocacy group Get Prescription Drugs Off the Street Society is urging Health Canada to deny approving a new powerful pain narcotic. It's called Zohydro. And to tell us more, the group's Amy Graves joins us on the phone this noon hour. Hi, Amy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing this morning, or this afternoon?
I'm doing great.
Good to hear. Tell me about Zohydro. I believe it's already been, I don't want to say banned, but restricted in the States. Is that the case?
Well, actually, it was approved by the FDA, even though the FDA Advisory Committee voted against it 11-2.
All right, so yeah, the Advisory Committee said no, but the FDA did go ahead anyway then.
Exactly. After a vote of 11-2 against it, they approved it anyway. And this is after too much concern was expressed to the FDA from physicians, law enforcement, not just advocacy groups like myself. And then after the FDA went against everyone's suggestions, some states have been attempting to ban this narcotic and are extremely outraged.
What is the problem then with this narcotic? What is it about this that has you and others, again, calling for its ban here?
Well, first of all, it's not just this narcotic. It's there's many that companies and opioid manufacturers that I do not feel market their drugs ethically or are safe as prescribed. The key here is this is a new drug coming onto the market that we have a chance to prevent or have safeguards put in place to protect not only the patients but the general public. So Hydro is an easily crushed capsule, and it will contain 50 milligrams of pure hydrocodone. That's 10 times more than a regular Vicodin. And what I think is very irresponsible of the company is that they use no abuse deterrent technology, which is available nowadays. You look back, I guess, 20 years ago, some companies could plead ignorance and say, we didn't know that these would be abused. We didn't know that there was a street market. But we know there is now, and we know there's a problem. And here is a company who has the option to make an abuse deterrent narcotic and chooses not to, and a company that manufactures methadone for the treatment of opioid addiction.
But what about people who may be in such severe pain that, you know, regular drugs just aren't working and that they might need something like this?
Well, this includes legitimate pain patients, too. It's not just the safety of people who use them illicitly. Many doctors have said that this drug is being marketed for chronic non-cancer pain, which opioids have not been proved safe and effective for. The trials that Health Canada and the FDA base their approval of safe and effective for chronic pain usually lasts about 12 weeks, and they are very exclusive in the patients they use in their trials, which does not represent how it's going to be prescribed in society.
Yeah,
they will cherry pick who they have in these trials so they have the favorable outcomes.
But you're worried again about this drug being abused at some point.
Yeah, but I'm worried about the safety of legitimate patients as well. It's both. I just think this screams ethics when a company who makes addiction treatment for opiate-dependent people comes out with an extremely potent painkiller with no abuse deterrence and will be making money off both ends of this epidemic.
Now, your effort has caught the attention, I guess, of the federal health minister, has it?
Well, yes. We put together a letter stating that we would like Health Canada to at least stop approving these strong opiate narcotics if they don't at least use abuse deterrent technology. Like I said, that's not the silver bullet, but that's just a pretty basic safeguard they could be implementing that is very low cost and I feel would be just an ethics of doing the right thing. After a few hours of sending the letter to Health Canada, which was signed not just by my organization, but physicians, social workers, law enforcement, educators, pharmacists across Canada, they reached out and said that they would like to connect with us sometime early next week.
So will you be meeting with the minister herself or just with her staff? You know,
her staff through conference call early next week.
But still, you've got to be pleased that you've caught the eye or the attention of the federal government here.
Well, most definitely. And I think that they have to start acknowledging this problem. Also, the Standing Committee on Health just released a report last week called Government's Role in Addressing Prescription Drug Abuse. And some of the recommendations echo what myself and other organizations are asking for. One of the recommendations was Health Canada consider the merits of tamper-resistant formulations in addressing prescription drug abuse. And also another recommendation was Health Canada consider amending its regulatory and policy framework for the approval of prescription drugs to allow for the inclusion of evidence related to the risks of the drug and the populations for which it was not intended. So basically saying not just taking the data from the manufacturer that the manufacturer cherry-picked to make, you know, the most favorable results for approval. You really have to look at the broader picture. And I really wish Health Canada would accept documents and evidence and clinical trials from people other than the manufacturer, from doctors who don't have any special interests, who aren't being paid off by pharmaceutical companies or pharma companies themselves who have a special interest to get their product approved. Who's going to put information in their clinical trials that will prevent them from getting approval and prevent them from getting profits?
You've got a petition going on change.org as well on this matter?
Yes, I thought it would also be good to get the public involved, not just stakeholders. And I think what's kind of scary is that a lot of people don't even know what's up for approval before it's already kind of said and done. The manufacturer has said they plan on putting in a submission, but they will not discuss a timetable or launch publicly. That's something that worries me, too. Why all the secrecy? Why do you want this to come out, you know, after it's all said and done and nobody has any say in the matter?
Well, fortunately, we have people like yourself out there, Amy, who are bringing this to our attention. And good for you for, again, bringing pressure to bear on the federal government. But I wonder, though, considering that the FDA in the States has approved this, whether it's just a matter of time before it happens here, too, despite your concerns.
Yes, but at least we can say we tried and, you know, we did our very best.
Indeed. Keep up the good work, Amy. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. Amy Graves, and she is with the group Get Prescription Drugs Off the Street Society. 12 at 13.